a blinking of an eye. Blinking an eye is pretty fast. Go up to somebody and blow in them, and their eyes will blink. Or you act like you're going to poke them, their eyes will blink. But it says here, a twinkling. In other words, way faster than a blinking, but in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise or be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so we see here that people are going to change. And what are we going to be changed into? We're going to be changed into a person or a body that cannot die, it cannot sin, and it cannot disappoint God ever, ever again. So if we're still alive when He comes back, we're going to be raptured out of here and we're going to be changed so we can't die and we can't sin and we can't disappoint God anywhere. But is there a place? According to these three verses that we read, or this passage and those two verses today, yes, there is. And so we would ask these questions. Is there a place where we will live forever? Yes. Is there a place where we will never, or we'll see our loved ones that's gone before us? Yes. Is there a place where we will have no more heartache or no more pain? Yes. Is there a place where we'll have not to deal with this flesh and this sin anymore? Yes. Is there a place where we will see Jesus face to face? Yes. Is there a place where we'll be able to worship Him and not to disappoint Him ever, ever again? Yes. So the word heaven, or the word heavens, or the word heavenlies, are found in the Bible approximately, I didn't count every one of them, I just actually used a little app on my phone, but the word heaven, the word heavens, and the word heavenlies are found approximately 600 times in the Bible. So, according to all the preachers that have ever said this, if God said something in the Bible once, He meant it, it was true, and you could count on it. But if He puts it in there over 600 times, there is a place. It's not fictitious. It's not made up. It's not a fairy tale. Like the, I won't say any fairy tales out here. You know, there's kids in here. But it's not one of those. Okay, it's a real place. And so we're going to look at a couple things here. The Bible says that these terms in the Bible is speaking of three different aspects or three different places of heaven. We're actually going to see a fourth one in the conclusion. But when you see the word heaven, or the word heavens, or the word heavenlies, in context, it's speaking of four different places. The first one is found in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. There is line that has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath set a tabernacle for the sun. So the first heaven that you can see, we can walk out right now and look at it, and I believe we would see bluish. It was a little gray this morning when I got here, foggy. But I think we would see bluish skies. Tonight you would see a black sky filled with stars if it's not going to rain, things like that. That's the heaven it's talking about. Day in and day out. Sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Every day. And that speaks of His ability. It tells us how awesome God is. God created that heaven where He put the sun and where He put the moon and where He put the stars. And it rotates every day in and every day out, every night in and every night. And it showeth the knowledge. And it says here that it's not constricted to just the English-speaking world. Obviously, we know there's wars going on across the world right now. There's difficulties happening everywhere. But that sun still came up, or will come up, wherever it's at right now. We won't go into all that kind of stuff this morning. But God speaks to the whole world. Language is not, there's not a barrier in that language. God's the one that created that heaven. He's the one that created those stars. He's the one that put it into place. And He made a tabernacle for the sun. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is this. That is the one that we cannot see with the naked eye. We can see the stars and the sun and the moon and all that kind of stuff and know that God created all that and is in charge of all that. All the sunrises and all the sunsets and all the stars that are beautiful, especially here in Kentucky, that God made that. But this one right here, some of you may have seen it. I haven't, because it would take an expensive telescope to see. And this is what is known as the planetarium heaven. This is where the planets would be. But God made that one. And that's a heaven that the Bible talks about. The third heaven is where Jesus lives. Luke 24:51, and it came to pass while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And of course, the Bible here is talking about the third heaven. So he's not right there in the clouds right now. He's not even where the planets are. He's above that in the third heaven. This is the third heaven, and it's referred to many times in the Bible as a place called paradise. So we think the stars are beautiful. We think the planets are beautiful. Does not compare, according to that book right there, what's above it. Does not compare. I have not seen, ear have not heard. Even come into our imagination how awesome heaven is. I'm astounded by the stars. I'm astounded by the sun. It does come up gradually. Some of y'all think maybe they just turn a light switch on and it's up there when you wake up. But anyway, it does come up gradually. It goes down gradually. I'm impressed by that. It speaks to me that our God is awesome. The planets are awesome. But we can't even over-exaggerate heaven. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." That was the third heaven. Paul said the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4. Says here, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell." All right. Now, again, Paul had gotten stoned that day. Different kind of stone that they talk about today. All right. But he said here he did have an out-of-body experience, or maybe not, when he got stoned. Okay, he got hit with rocks. He wasn't on any kind of drugs. Okay. But it says here, "I knew a man about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such as one caught up into the third heaven." That's what it says here in 2 Corinthians 12. "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth." He doesn't know what took place here. But it says here, "How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words that is not lawful for a man to utter." So, of course, we know John the Revelator got to see it. And, of course, here Paul got to see it. And they said it in here, "It would not even be lawful for me to tell you everything that I saw. You can't handle it." It's just like Moses wanted to see Jesus. And he said, "Oh, you can't handle it. Now, you get in the cleft of the rock and I'll pass by and you can see my hinder parts. But if you just saw me, you could not handle it." So we see here the third heaven is so unbelievable that we cannot even handle it. So the third heaven is where God lives. Solomon said in 1 Kings 8:30, "O God, you live in heaven. That is your dwelling place." So Solomon knew about it. David in Psalm 2 verse 4 says this, "God is speaking of the nations that turn their backs on him." Listen to what verse 4 says. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." So in other words, the word derision here means to ridicule or laugh to scorn. And the Bible talks about that. It says, hey, if you want to live a way that spits in God's face and turns his back on God, and maybe the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, convicts you. If you're not saved, if somebody says, hey, you ought not do that, but you scorn that and you keep living like that, and then all of a sudden something happens in your life and you're like, God, please help me. It says here, he's going to laugh. So we need to be careful how that we live and not get God on our bad side. Psalm 123:1 says this, "Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in heavens," or the heavens. The Lord's Prayer, as we know it, "Our Father, which art in heaven." All these talking about that third heaven. Jesus said in Luke 15:7, "I say unto you, like the wise joy shall be in heaven," likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And so, obviously, there's some of you in here that's been saved since we've lived here. And the Bible says in that third heaven, they rejoiced like crazy. If there's anybody here today that's not 100% sure that you're going to heaven and you're not saved, and if you got saved today, the Bible says that third heaven would go ballistic this morning. Obviously, praise the Lord, there's Baptist churches and men preaching the Word of God this morning all over the world. And there will be an invitation given and people will get saved on Sunday, praise the Lord. And heaven, that third heaven, will rejoice. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says this, "Those who die are with the Lord. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." Where? In that third heaven. We don't just float around up there on clouds. We're not up there running around Saturn. All right. When we die, the Bible says we go to the third heaven. We're in His presence. D.L. Moody, famous preacher, said, you may read one day that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't believe it. You may even be at my funeral and walk by my casket and see me laying there and think, he's dead. Don't believe it. This is what you can say. Here's D.L. Moody's old house that he used to live in, but he's got a new address now. And so praise the Lord for the place called heaven. That's my introduction. And so we'll get through these points as quick as possible. But be thankful that there's a place called heaven. A couple of points here. Some of these are going to be like, yeah, I get it. I understand. Some of them you'll be like, eh, that's a stretch. But we'll see. Number one, why should we be thankful for a place called heaven? Because we're going to spend eternity there with Jesus. So spiritually speaking, those of us that are saved, we can understand that. Those of us that have a close relationship with the Lord, we can understand that. A person that's not saved, they're like, eh, what's... And go to heaven, yeah, I guess it's better than hell. Person that's backslidden, not right with God, you know, if I saw him, he'd be upset with me right now. But the person that's saved and the person that's right with God, maybe even up in years and knows that we don't have very much time left, looking forward to spending eternity with Jesus. Hebrews 8:1 says this, now of these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. So here it is, all in a nutshell. Here it is, all added up. We have such a high priest who sits on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. That's where he's at right now. Of course, we know the Bible says that he's not bound by time. He's omniscient. He knows all. He is everywhere. So he's inside of us. The Holy Spirit's inside of us. But the Bible says that Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. John 14:3, we read it a while ago. Where I am, there you may be also. So again, if we are saved and we praise the Lord for and we are thankful for that place called heaven, we'll be there one day. Acts 1:11 says here, this same Jesus. So the same one that died on the cross, the same one that was put in the grave, the same one that rose up, the same one that lifted up into heaven, that same Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father right now. And it says here, which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come. So just like he went up, he's going to come down. And so we ought to be thankful for that. This same one, this same Jesus who knows, who knew us before the foundation of the world, that same one. That same one that saved us. That same one that loves us. That same one that died on the cross for us. That same one that leads us right now. That same one that provides for us right now is going to so come. So be thankful for a place called heaven. Why? Because we'll spend eternity with Jesus. Number two, we can be thankful for a place called heaven if you try to live biblically, because we have examples of Old Testament believers that live there. Be thankful for a place called heaven because we have an example of Old Testament believers that live there. Again, right now, if you said, okay, I'm going to name all the people in the Old Testament, hopefully you would start with Adam and then Eve, and then you go on down through there. All the ones that we've read about since we've been a child, or since you've been in church, or since you started reading the Bible, all of them are there. Again, we have a little bits and pieces of their stories, but the Bible says if he wrote down everything that he did, this earth could not contain the books. So we're going to be able to spend eternity with those guys. I'd like to go up and shake David's hand. I'd like to go up and shake Samson's hand. Be careful. Don't break any bones, all right? I would like to meet these guys, all the ones that we've read about. So we see that all of them are there. There are things that we might wonder how to handle in our life. We have a book, a Bible, God's Word, that has examples of how pretty much to handle everything that you'll ever come in contact with. There are some examples in here of how to handle it. There's some in here of how to not handle it. Right? A lot of things that David did, okay, I want to do it that way. Okay, I want to do it that way. There was a few things David did, don't go up on the rooftop. Don't be peeping Tom. All right, don't be sending her husband up to the front line so you know he's going to get killed. Don't do that. So that's how not to handle it. So praise the Lord, all these Old Testament Bible characters, they're already there. They're on the other side. And we can look in there. So we see here Old Testament believers, the God in heaven says here in the spirit of circumstances that they had to face, environments that they were in, obstacles that they were facing, problems they had to deal with. And even back then, the devil was messing with them just like he's messed with us. But they made it to heaven. Abraham believed God. And it says here, when God said, "Get out of thy country and to thy kindred, and from thy kindred," I'll get it here in a minute, "and from thy kindred," there we go, "and from thy father's house unto a land which I will show thee." And so we see that Abraham had to leave his hometown. He had to leave his dad's house and things like that. And that's difficult. I've seen people, there's a family at my son's church, they call it the convent. It was a big piece of property that great-great-granddad had and left it. And now it's just like Uncle Joe lives here, Uncle Bill lives here, you know, just, and they all just live right there. And that's good if you can do that. Again, I hope your aspiration, some of you young people, is not a pop-up in your dad's backyard. Okay, hopefully you got more about you that, you know, again, the Bible says leave and cleave. You ought to be able to leave at least the backyard before you have, you know, have your own place before you start cleaving. But anyway, we see these Old Testament characters, they had to go through all this stuff. And Abraham was told, get out of your country, from your kindred, and even your father's house, and I will show you a country. Hebrews 11:10 talks about Abraham as well in that great faith chapter. And it says he was looking for a city whose foundations and builder and maker was God. So Abraham left. Here's another one, Enoch. And he got there the way that I would like to get there, by not going through death. We have a couple examples of these, of two guys that I know of in the Bible that did not see death. They just went to be with God. And that would be great. That's called the rapture. Enoch, in Genesis 5:24 says here, Enoch walked with God and he was not. In other words, they never found his body. They never found his remains. Why? Because he just went to heaven. So he walked with God so much. They walked together that Enoch became more like God than man. This is God's desire for us. Enoch became more like God than he did man. Enoch also started loving things about heaven more than he loved things about earth. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Set your affection on things above. That's what Enoch did. So he loved things up in heaven more than he loved down here on earth. Enoch started caring more about heaven than he did the earth. Enoch loved God more today than he did yesterday. He was growing, not backsliding. Enoch started spending more time with God than away from God. To the point that God just said, brought him up there. Now, we see that you have heard the expression, as sure as death and taxes. All right? And we'll be starting to get those together here for too long. But taxes are pretty sure, but death is not. Death is not for sure. Some of us, or some people in future generations, will not experience death. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says this, "Behold, I show you a mystery." That makes sense to a lot of people. "But we shall not all sleep." And of course, that doesn't mean sleep. Okay? That means dying. All right? Bible says right here, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," or we're all not going to die, "but shall be all changed. So the dead in Christ shall rise first, they'll be changed, and those that are alive will be changed." So taxes are pretty sure, but death is not. I would prefer to go that way. A generation of Christians will be in heaven one day without dying, just like Enoch. Anybody know the other guy? Elijah. There we go. Good job. Elijah. He went up in a whirlwind, in a chariot of fire. Elijah did not die. And that's found in 2 Kings 2:1. "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah unto the heaven by a whirlwind." So those two fellows went to heaven where Jesus is, and we have Old Testament examples. So be thankful for heaven, a place called heaven. Why? Because we'll spend eternity with Jesus. And because we have examples of Old Testament believers that are there. Thirdly, because we'll be reunited with loved ones. And those of you that have saved loved ones that are in heaven, we'll see them again. And the Bible says, and I'm going to give you an example here, and I've read it a bunch and never thought of it this way. Because if you read the Old Testament, you'll see these three names listed over and over and over. Another pop quiz. Anybody? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, just over and over and over. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Obviously, it's showing the lineage and things like this. Abraham lived 175 years. I don't think I'll live that long, but I feel like that sometimes. Isaac lived 180 years. He said, "What, Abraham?" And he got five more. And then Jacob lived 147 years. But listen to these three verses. There we go. Three. Genesis 25:8. And Abraham gave up the ghost. He went to sleep. He died. Okay? And Abraham gave up the ghost and died a good old age and an old man full of years and was gathered to his people. Okay, so Abraham died and he was gathered to his people. Genesis 35:29. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. About 10 or 12 verses or chapters later, Genesis 49:33. And when Jacob had made an end of his commanding of his all or his sons, he gathered his feet into his bed and yielded up the ghost. Same phrase, and was gathered unto his people. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they got to be reunited with their loved ones, and we're going to be reunited with our loved ones. The Bible says he is no respecter of persons. So in the New Testament, we have this same teaching. If you want to go there, you can. If you don't, you probably know these verses, but I'll read you. And the New Testament teaches this same principle. Just like they were gathered up together, we will be gathered up together. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17, it says this, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. God's told us, just like he said, if it were not so, I'd have told you. I don't want you to be ignorant about heaven. I don't want you to be ignorant about people dying. I don't want you to be ignorant about that thing. But I would have told you, but would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep." Again, died, dead. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And again, I've been to both types of funerals. Unfortunately, I've preached both types of funerals. I've preached where it was a known fact that the person that I was preaching or eulogizing and all that stuff was saved and in heaven. I've preached some they didn't know. And then I've preached some they did know and that they weren't saved. Tough to do. Very tough. Why? Because they have no hope. But if a person, and again, they say that, you know, funerals and weddings, all the cuckoos come out. Okay? Aunt Susie Q that you hadn't seen for 15 years, she comes to a wedding and she's got opinions. All right? Or they come to this funeral and they're just lashing in. You know, haven't even ever seen you, met you. What's going on? That's just all the cuckoos come out for those things. But we see here, they have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them that also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So we're going to be reunited with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent us, them that which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, praise the Lord, I'm glad for a place called heaven. Why? Because I've got grandparents there. I have uncles and aunts there. I have a brother there. I have friends there. And one day the Bible says that we will all be reunited. Verse 17 says, together. One of the most beautiful words in the Bible, together. And again, around Thanksgiving time, you know, this year, we're going to be excited. We're going to be happy. Why? Because both of our boys and all their rugrats are coming for Thanksgiving. Next year, ask me that same question. All right, we'll probably both be boo-hooing. All right, why? Because they're going to go to the other side. All right, we have to share, right? Together is awesome. Together is good. And the Bible says in verse 17, together, they will be together. That's one of the most beautiful phrases in the Bible that means reunited. We have a lot to be thankful for down here, but eventually we'll have more up there to be thankful for. Those loved ones we talked about, those rewards we have. So be thankful for a place called heaven, number one, because we'll spend eternity with Jesus, because we have Old Testament example believers that will be there. Thirdly, because we'll be united with our loved ones. Here's number four. Because we will be separated from sin and evil in a place called hell. Praise the Lord for a place called heaven, because we'll be separated from sin. I don't like to sin. Okay? The spirit side of me don't like to sin. My flesh does. But I have to try to succumb that and squish that and feed the new nature and feed the spirit. Why? But I still sin. But one day when we get to heaven, the Bible says there is no sin in heaven. Okay? That's why Satan got kicked out of the first one. But that's why there'll be number four one day. We'll get to it in a minute. So we see here that some may think, if my good outweighs my bad, I'll get to heaven. Not true. One day, it says here, good and bad will be separated. Lost and saved will be separated. Heaven and hell will be separated. Because the Bible says that there is no good people. Matthew 19:17, there is no good, there is none good but God. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. So however, there is saved and lost, and they will be separated from each other. Revelation 21:8 says this, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters, and we say, okay, we're good, we're none of those, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus talks about that separation in Matthew 7:13-14. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that find it. So we see here that there will be a separation. Jesus said unto, there's basically two roads. One leads to heaven, one leads to hell. Most of the people will be on that direction to hell, the wrong direction. And just like we can't over-exaggerate heaven, we don't need to underestimate hell. The Bible tells us, eye have not seen, ear have not heard. There's so many things, and we're going to look at a few things here in a minute that we do know that is in there. But we can't over-exaggerate heaven. I think those of us that say, well, you know, I want a mansion on a hill and be overlook a valley. I think God can give you that. Some of you are like, well, I'd like to have a pond in my backyard so I could fish throughout eternity. I believe God could give you that. We can't over-exaggerate heaven. We know no death and no sorrow and no sickness, and we definitely know there would be no sin. But we can't underestimate the thing about hell. The Bible says that fire burns forever, but it's never ever quenched, and it's never ever going to stop. Then it talks about gnawing of our tongue and gnashing our teeth and worms that die not that will be eating on us throughout eternity. So just like we can't over-exaggerate heaven, we definitely do not need to underestimate hell. Heaven here on earth. Somebody has said that. When I got married, it was like heaven on earth. Amen? All right. It won't even compare. And I was excited that day. I mean, they always shut the doors back there where you can't see, and then you hear that dun dun, and everybody stands up, and you know you still can't see, and you're looking and looking, and then all of a sudden the doors come open, and there she is. And she came down, who giveth this woman to be married to this man, her mother and I. And then you're sitting there, come on, preacher, hurry up. Get all those words out. Why? Because we were all looking forward to that. You may kiss the bride. Yes, sir. But as awesome a day as that was in these 34 years, okay, have been even awesomer, it don't compare to heaven. So we might say, man, it's just been heaven on earth. But then we've also heard this statement, and it's like hell on earth. And we could think of the most tragic thing we could think about, the hardest time we've ever faced in our life, a situation or an environment that we're in, it won't compare. It won't compare. So we need to be thankful for a place called heaven. Why? Because we'll spend eternity with Jesus. We'll meet all those Old Testament believers that have gone on before us. We'll be reunited with our saved loved ones. And we'll be separated from sin and evil and that place called hell, but also because we will be rewarded for our works. Be rewarded for our works. Now, in our day and time, they didn't have these when I was a kid. Participation trophies. All right? They just didn't have them. You didn't get a trophy unless you won something. Okay, so we all had to stand over here for second, first loser, and watch the first place team get a trophy. And the Bible says, run your race because there's one that receiveth the prize. Okay, so we ought to run that race, but we're going to be rewarded when we get to heaven. Matthew 6, 20 and 21. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Talking about that third heaven, where neither moth or rust doth corrupt. It's all those trophies that I've won. That's what's happened to them. They're done. They're gone. This is where their thieves do not break in through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Revelation 22, 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward with me, to give to every man according to his works. Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give ye a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say he shall not lose his reward. So of course, praise the Lord for a place called heaven, and one day you're going to get your rewards. And it says right there in that verse, he shall not lose his reward. Again, I've lost trophies, moth and rust have corrupted them, things like that. But according to the Bible right here, you can lose your reward. And if you'll do a study about it, it talks about it, and I won't take time to show you all the verses, things like that, but if you earn that reward for that warm and fuzzy feeling, you're going to lose it. If you do it to satisfy your own soul, you're going to lose it. If you do it to impress somebody else, you're going to lose it. All those Pharisees in the Bible that prayed out in the public to be seen of men, all those Pharisees that gave alms to be seen of men, if we do something to get a pat on the back, we're going to lose our reward for that. But if we do it just because we love Jesus and we want to please Him, the Bible says we will not lose that reward. So be thankful for a place called heaven. Why? Because we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. We're going to meet all the Old Testament believers that's gone on before us. We're going to be reunited with our loved ones. We're going to be separated from sin, evil, and hell. And we're going to be rewarded in the last one because it's a place of perfection. It's a place of perfection. And this time, this is that fourth heaven. We talked about God mentions the first heaven, what we can see, sun, moon, and stars. Second heaven, what we can't see without a telescope, the planetarium. The third heaven, where they live right now. But Satan got kicked out of that because he got prideful there. So one day they're going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And that's the fourth heaven talked about in the Bible. Revelation 21, 2. And I, John, saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem coming down out of God, or out down from God, out of heaven. So, according to this Bible, where John wrote it all down in Revelation, moved the Holy Spirit, he says that there's gates of pearl. He says that there's foundations of precious stone. He said that there's streets of gold. In our day and time, people kill each other for gold. Up there, we're just going to walk on it. The Bible says there's a river of life. Here's a good one. For us fruit lovers, there's going to be fruit trees that bear 12 different types of fruit. You won't have to go get an apple and then walk all the way on the other side of heaven to get an orange or a plum. It's just going to be right there, bearing 12 different types of fruit. 1 Peter 1:8 says this, whom, having not seen, ye love, and whom thou not now ye have seen not yet believing. This is talking about Jesus, talking about heaven. Yet rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what Paul said. I can't tell you what I saw. It would be unlawful. It's joy unspeakable. We can't exaggerate heaven. Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Those of you, you know you still got legs, and you know you still got a back, and you know you still got this, because it hurts. All right? We will have no more pain. Why? Because the former things are passed away. So why should we be thankful for a place called heaven? Because of all these reasons. So in conclusion, the last one was because it's a place of perfection. Some of you are perfectionists. Some of you, you've been planning for weeks and weeks and weeks what your Thanksgiving table is going to look like. All right, you've got decorations for the table. You've got your whole menu. You've got, you know, your house is clean. You've got all kinds of... Last night, you know, we got people coming. So my wife went to Bath and Body Works, bought 3 wallflowers, got some of that oil junk that you screw into it. And so I did that. I plugged them in last night for upside down. So those little bottles are halfway empty before we figured out, man, it's rough. Because we put it on low. Why? Because we want it to smell perfect. Everything's clean, all this kind of stuff. But there's no perfect. Something's going to go wrong. You're going to burn something. Somebody's going to spill something. All right, because, you know, you got 19 grandkids, and I don't have 19. It seems like 19. I think it's 7. All right, and one of them's not very mobile yet. But it's going to be crazy. So Mr. Perfection here, Mr. Everything's got to be spotless, got to get over the fact there's going to be some spilt milk. You ought to see my wife's car right now. There was 3 car seats in it from last week. And those kids of mine gave my grandkids Nerds. So I think the whole package of Nerds is in my wife's car seat right now, because I hadn't had the chance to vacuum it yet. All right. So that's not perfect. There's Nerds everywhere. All right. I am a perfectionist. But according to the Bible, we're not going to know perfect or see perfect till we get there. We've never had a perfect environment. That's what people do. You know, they'll place everything and they'll take some, you know, just strategic pictures and they'll post it. Perfect Thanksgiving. Good luck. Everybody, you know, all my grandkids perfectly behaved. Good luck. All right. You know, my aunt that, you know, she's over there, you know, she's mad at this aunt and they're rah, rah, rah. Good luck. All right. We won't have that perfect Thanksgiving. But we're not going to have that perfect environment until we get to heaven. Our church is not perfect. Why? Because you got an imperfect pastor. And we have imperfect members. Now, don't get me wrong. I think this is the closest place of perfection on this earth right now. I love coming here. All right? But it's not going to be perfect until we get to heaven. We won't have a perfect body. And some of you could say amen right there. And we'll never have perfect peace. Everybody, you know, that's what Miss USA or Miss World or whatever they had, Miss Universe, that's what they always say right there at the end. And world peace. And world peace. All right? She don't care about no world peace. She just wants that crown. All right? And be able to do this. And hold her flowers. She wants world peace. But anyway, we won't have perfect peace till we get to heaven. Why? Because even the first family on earth, I don't know if it was Thanksgiving time, but one brother killed the other one. And you might, hopefully your Thanksgiving won't be that bad. You might have to have some, you know, what do you call it, timeouts and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, but first family on the earth had a brother kill another brother. We won't have perfect peace till we get to heaven, but there will be perfection. Our bodies will be perfect, and there will be perfect peace when we get to heaven. I am thankful for a place called heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's all stand. First question I'll ask, if you're not 100% sure that you're going to that perfect place, come, let me take the Bible, let my wife take the Bible and show you how you can be 100% sure you're going to heaven. Secondly, let's be thankful. You need to come today and thank God for your family. Thank God for your health that you do have. The altar is open. Brother Derek.